shortly. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, joined by the one and only Paul Dottino. I am the one and only John Schmelk. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. If you want to talk to us on Twitter over the course of the program, we're here for you. Not a lot of news, so a bit of a hodgepodge day here for Paul and I. We'll cover some of the new mock drafts. We'll cover some of the latest in free agency. Then we'll take your calls at 201-939-4513. Anything you want to discuss in the National Football League, we're here for you. New York Giants, too, of course, as well. So, Paul, before we get to the mock drafts, let's go free agency first. Position only take a few minutes.
Yeah.
Any moves or non-moves or news that stick out to you over the last few days? The big one, obviously, Dont'a Hightower heading back to the New England Patriots, which, to me, not a surprise.
No, and, you know, a lot of folks were wondering, was he really going to leave in the first place? You know, he went on some visits, and then all of a sudden, guess what? He's back in New England.
It's called a negotiation tactic, my friend.
I'm sure that had a lot to do with it, but I will say this. The Latavius Murray signing, I guess, this morning, or the agreement this morning that people are talking about in Minnesota, is obviously interesting because of the domino effect. It would appear, and no one's going to say for certain, and certainly I haven't heard anybody from Minnesota say this, but it would appear then that Adrian Peterson is not necessarily going to be able to go back there. And I think many of us, myself included, thought that ultimately he might wind up back there.
I thought so too.
I'm not so sure now.
No, I don't think so either. And another running back landed elsewhere, Eddie Lacy going to Seattle, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I know that was a guy that piqued your interest.
Until I heard he was 267.
You beat me to the damn punch. I was going to say, were you still interested in him knowing that he weighed 260 pounds?
Wow. And, folks, I put a message up on Twitter. Now, for those of you who have been listening to us for several weeks, know how I felt about Eddie Lacy as a potential target for the Giants. Well, this is why when John and I tell you that there are certain things that we can't possibly know about, like the medical on a player, we can't possibly know about a player's personnel folder, and we certainly cannot know about a player's specific conditioning drills. Well, when it comes out that on one of his three visits, Eddie Lacy was up to 267, the first thing that I thought about was, oh boy, I don't think that I would have called him into this facility for a workout at 267. That's not a good number.
Well, if he came at that number, he'd have to go on you on your weekly 5-mile walks every day.
He'd be doing 15 every day. Okay? Not good. So let me backtrack, and now that more of the facts and evidence are out, let me just say that my desire to put Eddie Lacy on my radar for the Giants was cooled off significantly, and good luck to him in Seattle.
And let me rewind now and circle back, because like you said, these are dominoes that drop, and one thing affects the other. Back to Adrian Peterson. I know both of us have got a lot of tweets about whether or not the Giants should be interested in him, and I'm going to say the same thing about Adrian Peterson, Paul, that I said to you about Brandon Marshall when we were at the Combine.
Mm-hmm.
This is a situation where he can't come in here, much like Brandon Marshall is not expecting to get 165 targets. You know, Adrian Peterson, if he decides he wants to come to the Giants, he has to understand that he's not going to be a 25-carry-a-game guy.
He can't be.
And then the Giants aren't going to run a bunch of power eye formation for him either.
No.
It's just not the way it works.
Although, because of the signing of Ellison, it would seem to me that they certainly are going to dabble into a power running game, which they haven't been able to do for several years.
More plausible now than before the Ellison signing.
Yes, yes. You would also have to wonder, quite frankly, remember, Ellison blocked for Peterson in 2012 when he ran for 2,000 yards. So you would have to wonder if Ellison is making some phone calls to his buddy and telling him about, hey, you know, based on what they told me and based on what I know now coming to the Giants, there are some things here that you could probably do. Maybe that's happening. Maybe that's not happening. I don't know. John doesn't know. But here's what I will say. I'd have no problem, and I said this about Marshall when you asked me in Indianapolis, I'd have no problem kicking the tires, bringing him in for a visit, talking to him, seeing what he's got left, checking the medical, going over some possible numbers and saying, look, this is what we can fit, but we're not going to break the bank for you. This is what we can fit, and if you can talk about that structure, maybe we have a conversation. But beyond that, I'm not going to start banging on this table saying Adrian Peterson needs to be a Giant. I'm not going to do that because I just don't feel that way.
Yeah, I'm with you. One more note before we get to your calls and we talk about the mock drafts that are out there for those of you watching on Twitter. The defensive tackle market. I think they're kind of waiting for that Dontari Poe domino to fall. He's been visiting a bunch of people. Someone had a joke that he's just trying to get as many free meals as possible before he decides where to go. He's a big boy. It's understandable. And my guess is that as soon as Dontari Poe picks where he's going to go, it'll be a matter of hours, not days, before we know where Jonathan Hankins winds up, if it's back here or somewhere else.
I haven't seen his name attached to anybody.
Maybe his agent doesn't leak. You know, sometimes these agents leak. Maybe they don't find the need to leak for him.
You know, though, when guys make their visits and they go on the circuit, usually somebody somewhere spills something. It's not necessarily the agent. Here's what I will say.
Bless
you, by the way.
Thank you.
Here's what I will say about Jonathan Hankins. I think maybe it's possible that some people underestimate the fact that he wants to stay. And I know that the numbers right now are very difficult for the Giants to work with. We understand that. That's not a secret. Jerry Reese said it might be possible to keep him, but he didn't make it sound like it was going to be a walk in the park to do it.
And they could still work it out. There are ways you can move money around.
It could still happen. Okay. JPP could still get done and lower his number.
Sure.
Okay. Here's what I will say, though. I do think Jonathan Hankins likes it here. I've gotten no indication from him in his 4 years as a Giant that he was looking to go somewhere else to play, let's say, in Cleveland because he played at Ohio State.
I agree, 100%.
In college.
I'm with you.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I never got the impression from Jonathan Hankins that he did not like the weather, did not like the fan base, did not like his teammates, did not like the system.
Right.
I never got that impression from him. And to be fair, folks, there are sometimes when you cover a team as closely as we do, you get a feel from a guy that, you know what, when he gets the chance, he'll probably start thinking about a warmer climate.
Yep,
you know?
Absolutely.
But he'll want to go to a team that does certain things because it's more suited to him. You get the impression that a guy would take that escape hatch if he got a chance. You and I don't think that about Hank.
No, I agree. All right, folks, if you like what you heard, there's plenty more. If you want to go to Giants.com or the Giants mobile app to listen there. So we say goodbye to everybody that's been watching us on Twitter. Thank you for joining us. All right, Paul, let's switch gears now to the draft.
Yeah.
A bunch of mock drafts coming out since free agency ended, and we'll try to take them one by one here. I don't want to spend too much time on each of them, but I'll go through as many of them as I can. First, a couple NFL.com mock drafts. I'll go first round first. There is one four-round mock draft, which is somewhat insane.
Somebody did four?
Yeah, that's correct. So
Who did four?
Chad Reuter from NFL.com.
Really?
Yes. I will get to that last. I will address the first-round mock drafts first, some of the new ones that have come out. And if you go to Giants.com, the first headline on the right side of the page over there, that has the article that links to all the new picks for the Giants. So here we go. You ready?
Go.
Paul has not heard these yet, so
I have not.
This is why I like doing it this way. Daniel Jeremiah, DJ, who if Mike Mayock does get a job in a front office somewhere, will probably become NFL Network's number one draft guy. He does a very good job.
He is.
At 23 for the New York Giants, he has them taking Hassan Reddick, linebacker out of Temple. Now, just a note, Njoku off the board. I'm looking for O.J. Howard off the board at 12.
Mm-hmm.
Forrest Lamp off the board at 15. Cam Robinson off the board at 20.
Mm-hmm.
Takaris McKinley off the board at 21. So on the board when the Giants selected Reddick, Garrett Bowles, Dalvin Cook, John Ross, Taco Charlton, Evan Ingram.
Fournette?
Gone.
You know, it's funny, John. We had the gentleman on from Philadelphia yesterday on the program, and when talking about Reddick, he said that the span was from 9 to 30 that he has heard. And my problem with him, and you and I have discussed this off the air, and I'll tell the listeners flat out, my problem with Reddick isn't with him as a player. It's that because he didn't do anything in coverage in college, even though he did it at the Senior Bowl, that's a projection. And I think even at 23, which is low in the first round, I think you need somebody who's more of a definitive player, who you have seen him do everything that you're going to ask him to do when you get him here. When you start saying to yourself, we think he can do that, I tend to shy away. My thought.
Mock draft number two. I agree with that. But, again, I think he's a very talented player that could be a
four. Don't
By
disagree.
The way, Zach Cunningham on the board, too, in that scenario. See, I would pick Cunningham ahead of Reddick because of what
we've
the Giants
him.
Do.
And we've seen him
Correct.
Do everything
and I think
that
he's
they
a
need
fit.
Him to do.
All right, now we have Todd McShay, who's obviously ESPN's number two draft guy after Mr.
Kuiper. He does
Kuiper.
A good job, too.
Excellent job. At number 23 for the New York Giants, Ryan Ramczyk, offensive tackle out of Wisconsin. Also on the board with the Giants picking Ramczyk. Alvin Kamara, running back Tennessee. Taco Charlton, defensive end Michigan. The cornerback from Ohio State, Garyon Conley. Takaris McKinley on the board. Cam Robinson on the board. Here's who's not on the board when the Giants pick at 23. Reddick, gone. Bowles, gone. And Njoku, gone. Mm-hmm. Charles Harris, the defensive end from Missouri, mm-hmm. gone. Dalvin Cook, gone. John Ross, gone. Forrest Lamp, gone. Christian McCaffrey, gone. And Derek Barnett, gone. Corey Davis, gone. Fournette, not on the board. And this is the big one for this guy. McShay has O.J. Howard going fourth overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. How about that?
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
If I would have told you the first four picks, one was a safety and one was a tight end.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
That's pretty crazy, right?
I only have one question about Ramczyk.
Health.
And it's the medical. That's it. I need to know, based on the medical, and then there is that worry or concern that he's not going to be able to help you right away. Even if he checks out medically, you don't know how quickly he can get up to speed. And again, we've talked about this too, John, since we got back from Indy. There may be no plug-and-play offensive tackles in this draft.
So he's at least not left tackle.
And that's a bit of an issue.
Correct. And very rarely do you see guys go in the first round that aren't projected at some point to be a left tackle.
Well, yeah. But more importantly, you want a plug-and-play guy because you want that guy to help you right away
Correct.
As a rookie.
Right.
I'm not 100% sold that Ramczyk can do that right now.
Yeah, or Bowles for that matter. Both guys only 1 year of Division I major college football, so they're going to have to learn a lot.
So two first-round picks so far John has given me, and I'm questionable on both of them.
All right.
I'm not so sure I'd take either one right there.
Now, I don't have the full mock draft for these guys necessarily, so
okay.
I'm just going to give you the picks, okay?
Okay.
Because the sites aren't loading properly. Sports Illustrated, Chris Burke.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Robinson, offensive tackle from Alabama. This is his analysis. My guess is when all is said and done, at least one offensive tackle sneaks into the top 15, maybe even the top 10. Robinson is franchise left tackle upside and a starting guard / right tackle baseline.
He's in the court or the part of the court that says Robinson's going to be terrific. There are those people who have exactly the opposite opinion, don't think he's going to be an NFL tackle, period, and think he's going to have to try to play guard. They just don't like his feet at all, and they're concerned about speed rushes off the edge. And so there's a mixed bag on Robinson. And again, when you have a mixed bag, are you really, really making a smart pick on a guy who's a mixed bag guy at 23?
Now, here's the thing. On the board when he makes this pick,
yeah.
Forrest Lamp on the board.
Okay.
And I, personally, myself, I would never in a million years pick Cam Robinson ahead of Forrest Lamp. I just think Lamp's
fair.
A much better football player.
Well, much
I don't
better
care.
Athlete.
I don't
much
care.
Better athlete.
I don't care what position you play.
No one's going to argue about that athletically.
Christian McCaffrey still on the board. Ryan Ramczyk still on the board. Not there. Taco Charlton and Njoku, Howard, Cook. Zach Cunningham is off the board at 18, which is interesting. Out of Vanderbilt. And we'll try to get someone on from Vanderbilt, too, as we move forward here.
Okay.
John Ross gone, and everybody else. And they have O.J. Howard going at 10. All right?
We keep telling you, folks, O.J. Howard's not getting out of 15.
No.
There's no way it's going to happen. I know you want him for the Giants. I get it. He's not getting past 15.
Unless you're Steve Palazzolo, our good buddy from Pro Football Focus. He actually has O.J. Howard going to the Giants at 23, but Pro Football Focus's mock drafts.
Ding, 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 ding. Let's ring the bell. I'll take it.
They make this point. They're not predicting what teams are going to do. They're saying if they were drafting for teams, this is what they would do. So it's a little bit of a different scenario. You know what I mean? They approach it a different way.
Well, Steve, I'm with you. If O.J. Howard's there at 23, I have no problem taking him. I would give you a thumbs up on that pick.
All right, now we got our man, our buddy Dane Brugler, who was with us down at the Combine in person, a good man. He actually also has O.J. Howard dropping to the Giants at 23.
And what is his criteria?
He does mock drafts normally.
But
he makes the point that the value of Howard at this point in the draft might be too enticing to pass up. And he is Njoku going at 20 ahead of O.J. Howard.
Which we heard at Indy could happen.
Yeah, not after the way – that was before they did their workouts in Indy. And Howard's Njoku's workouts were actually better than Njoku's.
Right, right.
In a lot of ways.
That is true. But there were people who have conviction. Remember, there are those who don't value Indy as much as others.
Correct.
So
– and Howard did not have as much production in the passing game as Njoku did in college because of the way Alabama runs.
But Howard – remember what we talked about, projections, folks? Howard has done the blocking that Njoku's projected to do.
But you're also projecting Howard as a receiver.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I agree with that.
But what you saw in the Senior Bowl gives you a lot of confidence because he was really good there, and that's in a game situation. And he has all the athleticism you need.
And you know why it's easier to project a receiver than it is a blocker? Because blockers have to do it from in here.
You're right about that. Everyone wants to catch the ball. Not everybody wants to block.
Exactly.
You're right about that. Absolutely.
So, I'm telling you, O.J. Howard for me is a no-brainer at 23 if he's there.
And they have Bowles on the board, Zach Cunningham on the board, Charles Harris on the board, Forrest Lamp on the board. And by the way, you notice T.J. Watt's been kind of climbing into the back end of that first round recently.
Yeah, I've heard that.
He had very good workouts in Indy, which is interesting. They have Taco Charlton off the board at 22, does Brugler.
By the way, if Watt were anywhere near the Giants in the second round, I would have no trouble picking him.
I don't think that.
Not going to happen.
You better say a Hail Mary between now and then.
Not going to happen. They can always move up.
And then the final first
Collins.
And then the final first round mock draft is Rob Rang, another guy we had at the combine.
Yeah, good guy.
At 23, Ryan Ramczyk, Wisconsin offensive tackle. The Giants rushed for a minuscule 3.5 yards per carry in 2016. This is his analysis.
Yes.
And scored a league low 6 touchdowns on the ground, and his tackles struggled with speed rushers. All those things are true. Adding former first-round pick DJ Fluker helps a guard, but a gifted tackle like Ramczyk was still on the board. Incumbent starting blindside blocker Eric Flowers could be moved to his more natural right side, potentially improving 3 positions immediately. On the board at 23 when they take Ramczyk, I'll give you some other names of guys that are available. Cam Robinson, Mike Williams, and Njoku is still available. Forrest Lamp is still available, and those are the bigger names that are still on the board at that point. So,
okay,
I think that's interesting.
I'm looking here, John, and I'm trying to find, is there anything here?
Medical rechecks happen in April. I'm sure that's what you're looking for.
I'm looking for, well, here we go. The last medical information on Ramczyk came out when?
Well, it's the combine. He got checked at the combine.
Yeah, but has there been anything even in the last couple of weeks?
No.
Anything at all?
That was only 2 weeks ago, the combine.
Yeah.
The medical rechecks happen in April. That's the next and final word we'll get on his hip. But, dude,
I just want to know what he's doing.
The surgery happened so recently. I don't think you're going to have much on it, to be honest with you. I don't think you are. It's just the nature of the beast. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, yep. There you go. A lot of offensive linemen and a couple of tight ends in that mix there. And do you want to hear the 4-round mock draft?
All right. Who's they got? Who do they have in 2, 3, and 4?
I'll just try to give you the teams here, okay? In round 1, Chad Reuter has the Giants picking Malik McDowell, defensive tackle out of Michigan State. I guess he's thinking replacing Hankins if he walks out the door.
Okay.
Power, length, athleticism. He kind of projects as a Chris Canty type. If you look at his body size and stuff, that's kind of what he looks like in terms of height. Probably more natural 3-4 defensive end, but he could be a 3-technique defensive
tackle. I will tell
you,
that's the first time, though, I've heard him connected to the Giants in any draft.
Then he has, I like this pick, in second round, Taylor Moton, the tackle out of Western Michigan.
No problem.
Either a right tackle, he could play right tackle or guard.
No problem.
And to me, that's a name that I would focus on in the second round. If he's still available, I think he'd be a nice, nice pick.
I'd have no problem with that.
Round 3, where are the Giants here? Jordan Leggett, tight end out of Clemson.
Hmm.
And then
I don't know that I would do that, but he's not a bad prospect.
No, and he's a guy, you know, he's much more of a receiving tight end.
Understood.
He doesn't have the Giants getting one or two, so it makes sense to pick a tight end there in round three. And then in round four to the New York Football Giants, let me see if I can find him on the list here. Ben Boulware, the linebacker out of Clemson, who had a huge, if you remember, national championship game against Alabama.
Yes, he did.
And was all over the field. And he's a middle linebacker.
He's got him at four?
Round four, yes. I think this might be a little high for him. I think he's at day three. Well, round four is day three, so I guess that's about right.
I wouldn't cry about it. I think you certainly, you know you're going to get something out of him on specials right away. But you know what? Here's the thing. Depending upon if you got – and here's what I do like about what he said. He's got them taking a D lineman. He's got them taking an offensive lineman. He's got them taking a tight end. And he's got them taking a middle linebacker. In each of those cases, there's certainly some need for those positions. Now, remember, the Giants still go with the best athlete available, and then need is the second component in their equation. It would depend for me as to what else was available at that time as to whether or not I would take those particular guys. But you can't argue he's looking at the Giants and saying they're Kleenex thin at some of these spots. Let's fortify it. They're not terrible picks.
Agree 100%. All right, let's get to the calls. I know we chatted for a while there, but there are a lot of new mock drafts. I want to kind of go through them and have some fun with them.
Hey, it starts things up for us.
Absolutely. So let's go to Charles in North Carolina. He's been holding the longest. He was with us since the start of the show. Charles, how are you, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I ain't called in. It's been a while. I don't think I called in last year.
Yeah, it's been a while, Charles. It's good to hear from you again.
Man, I ain't called in since I was talking about Deion Grant being the third safety, I think.
Wow, now that goes back a long way.
It was a while ago.
Hey, look at it this way. At least you didn't ask us about Spider Lockhart.
Yeah, right?
That would be decades and decades ago.
Right, that's true. But look, man, y'all covered a lot. I mean, y'all covered a lot, man. I don't know. I called in about the running back, but y'all covered so much that I can speak on. I'll make it quick.
Okay.
Man, at D-tackle with Hankins, I think you own to something, man. I think that he said, hey, look, I want to stay a Giant. It's going to take a heck of a deal for me to leave. And if nobody's willing to give me a heck of a deal, a no-brainer deal where I just can't refuse, I'm gonna try to work it out with New York. I can honestly see him saying that, man, because I think he likes it here. He alluded that he wanted to stay. Obviously, he he's brothers with those guys on the D line. Makes a lot of sense. I'll leave it at that with the Hankins situation.
Yep.
The Adrian Peterson situation. Now, real quick, I think Ellison, he's another one, man, that I think he can recruit. You were right on it. I think he is trying to recruit AP, man. I think it'll be a good fit. You know, Perkins and him can split the carries. He's not going to get 20, like you say, he's not going to get 25 carries a game. I think at the right price, I would jump all over AP, man. He hadn't had a lot of wear and tear over the last couple years. Didn't run a lot last year. He wouldn't have to carry the full load here.
Got to check the medical, though. Got to check the medical because that's got to be first.
Right, true. That definitely got to do that. As far as the draft go, man, I'm all over the place right now. It can go a lot of different ways. I mean, I wouldn't mind Zach Cunningham. Obviously, Howard and Joku and all those guys, man, those are no-brainer guys. I mean, you look at some of the linemen. Now that we pretty much know that Flowers is going to be the left tackle, I wouldn't mind going O-line first round, man, and maybe one of those guys playing right tackle for a few years until they, or whatever. Playing the right tackle position. Now that I think we can pretty much pencil in Flowers at left tackle, I don't think I would mind it as much. But when people were saying, hey, let's move Flowers on the inside and have Bowles play left tackle or have Ramczyk play left tackle, I was like, that's not going to fix the problem, man. I just don't see those guys being a left tackle at this point coming out the draft. And that was my whole problem.
Understood.
With that scenario. But now, at right tackle, hey, I'm fine with that. Fluka play guard. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that all day. Outside of that, man, everything you said, I'm pretty much on board. I don't have a problem with it.
Cool.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you, Charles. Glad to make you happy. I guess he's gone. We don't know 100% about the John Jerry situation. We know that that's been out there in the common media, but the Giants have not made any official announcement, which basically means the contract, if it has been agreed to, has not been signed, because the Giants are always very particular about making an announcement after
Correct.
The ink is dried.
Yes. And until the ink is dried, nothing's official.
Correct.
Very important to note that. Yeah, I mean, I think Charles made some good points. And this is why, and
he
I said
agreed
that,
with us mostly, so that's why they're good.
Absolutely. And I said this to you about an hour ago while we were just, you know, chatting in the cafeteria and, you know, discussing what we're going to talk about on the show and everything. And, you know, Paul, I made the point to you that I had forgotten how hard it is to do these types of things and predict what you're going to do when you're picking so late in the first round, because you just don't know what your choices are going to be when you get there. Heck, last year, we talked about that draft ad nauseum, and the Giants are picking, what, 11 last year? 12? What was it?
It was 11.
11, right? I think it was 11. Did you think for a second that before the draft started, that at choice 11,
right,
both Leonard Floyd and Jack Conklin would both be gone? And Laramie Tunzel would be on the board. I mean, come on, man.
Absolutely not.
That's 12. And that's 11.
Absolutely
not. How are you supposed to pick who's going to be available at 23?
Absolutely did not think Tunzel would be there until what happened.
And even so, I didn't think Conklin and Floyd would both be gone by 11, not both.
I thought there was a chance.
A chance, but
I thought there was a chance. And if you were outside the stadium,
but
when we
somebody
were doing
would
the
have
MSG
had to drop.
Weston
though.
Richburg had to almost pick me up off the floor when Conklin got selected. I was devastated. Devastated.
And he turned out to be a pretty darn good player too.
Almost every guy that I pick for the Giants turns out to be a very good player. But that's why they don't get them, because somebody else gets them before the Giants do.
Don't maybe break up some of the sorted items from your past.
I've had some.
And we all have hits and misses. That's the way it goes.
I've had some misses, too.
Absolutely.
I've had some misses, too. My first rounders, though, usually turn out to be really good. I will say this, though, and to be fair.
Dude, that is Lance Meadow level patting yourself on the back. That's
no,
very impressive.
Well, Conklin, Sheriff, Zach Martin, Solder, they were all very good.
Fluker.
I don't think Fluker's a bad one. I really don't.
It's a first-round pick. If you don't get your fifth-year option picked up.
The book is yet to be fully written on Fluker. I think he's going to still be a good player.
Okay.
But anyway, back to what we were talking about in the cafe, and John and I were saying, well, is it easier or harder to think about what the team's going to do when they're up at like 10 or when they're down at 23?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I told him I thought it was a double-edged sword, because in some ways, you're right, at 23 – you don't know who's going to be there, because you're so far down that can be a real problem. And that was your angle on it. My other side of it was, well, it's kind of easier because, like, you know the blue chip guys like O.J. Howard's not going to be there until guys on the mock draft decide that he is going to be there. It's like I'm thinking to myself, you know 10 of the guys for sure are not going to be there at 23. And
maybe,
O.J. Howard's one of them.
And maybe 15.
Right. So in some way, it's easier, I think.
So you almost just have to build your board, your top 30.
I don't know.
And then do it that way. Anyway, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. He's up next. Hi, Len.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
On?
How about you?
Okay, hanging in there. Just a quick update. Notre Dame 11-9 with about 13 to go in the first.
Thank you, Len. Excellent work.
Okay. Kind of interesting when you were running through those mock drafts, guys. It looked like in just about every case, and I think you did, you know, six or seven, given who's available at the point, even though somebody may have predicted we'd get Howard, or Howard would be still available. There's a bunch of offensive linemen, and they're the best offensive linemen out of this class. It's just hard to believe that one of those guys, Bowles, Ramczyk, although I'm not high on him, I want a clean guy in the first round. I just don't like the injury, and I don't want to take a chance on it. We need help, and if we're going back to the playoffs, we need somebody who's going to help us right away. So I'm not a big Ramczyk fan, only because of the injury. But there does seem to be an offensive lineman there who is available. So it's hard for me to believe that somewhere in the first three rounds, we're not going to pick an offensive lineman.
Oh, I would think in the first three rounds, yes, Len, but I think the question you have to ask yourself, is there a reason those offensive linemen are still on the board and available for when the Giants pick at 23, or are they really good enough players to be picked that high? That, I don't know the answer to the question, but that's the question that the Giants have to ask themselves when they build their board and decide when they go on the clock who they're going to pick at 23.
You know, Len, the consensus is that they're not plug-and-play guys.
Paul,
the consensus out of Indy is that they're not plug-and-play guys. So it is not a no-brainer in the first round to take one. Now, second and third round, you don't have to take a plug-and-play guy there. You'd like to get production out of them as a rookie, but they don't have to be immediate starters on week one if they're being taken in the second or third rounds. So I'm with you. I think by the end of round three, they better have taken an offensive lineman. I'm totally on board with that. I don't know that it has to be round one.
Sure. Yeah, I think for sure they have to. They indeed have to take one. You know, John, back to your point, whenever you make a pick, there's a reason why you didn't pick the next guy.
Sure.
If you follow what I'm saying.
I do, yes.
I mean, at 23, you're going to pick a guy at 23, but there's a reason why you didn't pick the guy who goes at 24, 25, 26.
Sure.
And let me give you an example of something that comes to mind with that. In round three, 2 years ago, we picked 00. Four picks later, Danielle Hunter goes to Minnesota. Hunter had about 12 sacks last year.
Mm-hmm. And that was a guy, by the way.
I don't know what the future is for double O. So you can always find a reason to not pick somebody. You know, these guys, there's four or five of these guys who are the best offensive linemen in this draft. Maybe if Lamp is available, maybe we go in that direction. All right, can I move on to another point?
Sure.
Okay. JPP. Glad we're at least going to get him for a year. Hope we get him long term, but I'm pleased that he's going to be part of that defensive line next year, one way or the other. A little concerned about when he might come in. You know, 2 years ago it looked like it was heading when we had him under the franchise tag. You know, it looked like he was heading for a long holdout. That is, before he was going to sign that thing. And then, of course, he had the accident on the 4th of July, and everything changed. But I could see it playing out the same way, and that's my only concern. It gets all the way out to, I mean, he doesn't start drawing a salary till week one. So signing the tender, he can show up the Saturday before the first week. Labor Day weekend, they're cutting down to 53, and JPP walks in and says, show me where to sign.
You know, Len,
I
don't think...
Then he starts earning $1 million a week the next week.
Now,
so,
Len, if he is on that franchise...
How important is it for him to be there for OTAs, mini camp, regular training camp?
I don't think it's a big deal if he misses the spring stuff. And, you know, much like the last time he was under the tag, he wasn't there for that either. He's been in the league long enough. It's the same defensive system. He knows it. I don't think that's big of a deal. I think... if he starts holding out into regular training camp, I think that's when you start getting worried, because you want to make sure the guy gets in shape. And what you always see, and look, Jason Pierre-Paul does not have a short injury history. He has a bunch of stuff that's come up over the years.
Yeah.
And what you worry about, guys, and Paul can attest to this, that miss significant time during training camp. And again, I don't think JPP would hold out to the point where he wouldn't show up for training camp. That's not my feeling on how that would go. I don't think that would be the case. But if it is under some other circumstance, you worry about a guy hurting himself early in the season because he's not in the proper shape, because he wasn't in training camp for the whole 6 weeks that it goes on, and that's how I look at it.
You know, I've often wondered, John, what are the other guys thinking? You get to training camp, and
you know
the defensive linemen are slugging it out, and they're sweating, and they're banging heads as much as they're allowed to do in training camp, but
it's
a whole different, it's a whole different thing. And I wonder how many times, they don't like to get involved in salary issues. Nobody's going to comment on another player's salary issue. But you wonder what they're thinking about. Where are you? Get in here and slug it out with us. Get ready for the season. If that has any effect on the team, if it has team morale issues.
I don't think it will, Len.
I don't know. But I'm glad we're going to have him for at least 1 year.
I'd like to address something you said earlier,
and
I'm going to hold you here for just a second. I know that we have other callers on, but I want to hold you here, Len, because I know you'll understand what I'm saying. Think back about 12 years ago when the Giants were picking 25th in draft 2003. And we all knew that they were desperate to get a defensive tackle. And they wound up drafting William Joseph out of Miami. Who at the time, when he came out, remember, they were picking number 25, two spots away from where they're picking now. And they went more for need than they did necessarily best player available. And William Joseph was a fringe first-round guy at the time, but they were desperate for a defensive tackle. And he was a guy who, coming out, was supposed to need some more power and size because he was a tad undersized at the time, didn't have great strength.
Wasn't it a motor question with him, too?
And there was a motor question as to does he take some plays off. So what happens? Yep. The Giants reach because they let the knee creep in. And I think that may be what you're doing here with the offensive tackle spot. You're talking about guys who have mixed reviews, who are not blue-chip plug-and-play guys, and you're letting the need and the desperation about taking an offensive tackle get into your thinking a little bit.
I got you. Good point, Paul. I hear what you're saying. William Joseph lasted 5 years. Well, hard to believe he made that roster
well,
in 5 years.
Remember, he had the back surgery, had a number of injuries, hamstrings, back surgery, and a bunch of stuff. And
thanks, Len. We got
to
run,
the Raiders. But I just want to make that point to you as an example.
Thank you, Len. Appreciate the call, my friend. We got some more calls in before we say goodbye. So 25 minutes to go. Don't fear. We got plenty of time. Let's go up to Mike in Boston. He wants to talk about the draft. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well, Mike. What's up with you?
Hello. Hey, so I just, I wanted to talk about the draft. I liked a lot of the points that you guys brought up earlier. One of the things I wanted to ask about, there's so much talk about the offensive tackle need as well as on defense, you know, with the situation, you know, as of today, without Hankins, there's a need for a defensive tackle. Just curious, if the Giants were not to go for an offensive tackle in round one, would there be a later round where we might be able to potentially find a decent tackle to at least start bringing in on the offensive line, whether it's round two or round three, was one of my questions.
You named him before.
Yeah, Taylor Moten, the guy out of Western Michigan, he's a guy that's a right tackle or a guard, one or the other. He's a big power guy. He was at the Senior Bowl. Me and Paul watched him out there when they played in that Senior Bowl game. People like him. He doesn't have left tackle feet, but that's fine. He's not going to play there. So, to me, that's a second, third-round guy. If you want a project, that's going to take a couple years now to get him ready to play. But Antonio Garcia out of Troy is somebody that has really good quickness and feet.
He'll need
but
bulk.
Me and Paul saw him at the combine. He was built more like a tight end than an offensive tackle. So that's somebody you'd have to build on a little bit. Dan Feeney out of Indiana is a guard that's going to be a second-round pick. He's probably the second-best guard after Forrest Lamp. He's somebody that could be a second-round pick if he's still there. Those are the guys that jump out to me off the top of my head without looking any lists.
We heard about Deion Dawkins yesterday from Temple, who most people think will be a guard but could play some tackle, maybe even could play some center. As we heard the writer from Philadelphia talk to us yesterday, Deion Dawkins is telling him that he thinks he can play anywhere on the line.
Makes him valuable.
Now, that's a guy who, you know, you might think about maybe third-round value, and you're gonna see what you get out of him. You think he'll be an immediate quality backup who may have the potential at some day to be a starter. Remember, David Deal was a number six. You know, you can reach down.
Five.
You're right.
That's
okay. He was a five. Very good. Thank you, John. And Richie Seibert was a guard who was undrafted.
Undrafted, right.
So you can get those guys. So, yes, absolutely. Great draft for depth. Draft for depth if you can.
So here's another question with regards to that, too. I mean, obviously there's a need of tackle. I know that, you know, we hear a lot about Forrest Lamp and Garrett Bowles. I'm seeing some people put them as a guard, and it seems like we're pretty set on the guard position at this point, especially with DJ Fluker now with that signing and Justin Pugh. And then, you know, with the others that we have for depth. So that was why I had brought that up.
Well, are you drafting for a starter or a backup? You know what I mean?
Well,
if you're drafting for depth, okay, you figure you got Bobby Hart right now and Eric Flowers, who are your starters and their young tackles at the moment. If they progress and improve, and I still believe that there's a good chance that they will, well, then you've got youth at your starting tackle spots. You're not necessarily drafting now to get a starter at tackle.
Right.
So what you're drafting for is a guy who's going to provide you versatility and value in the next 2 years while you bring him along and then figure out where he eventually will land. So I don't think you need to let versatility impede you from picking a guy.
I'm with you. I agree. Hey, here's another thing, too. Paul, you mentioned that power running back quite a bit, and I'm on board with you with Perine. I saw that, you know, obviously Eddie Lacy just went over to the Seahawks. It looks like he's going to be the next Marshawn Lynch. My thoughts, you know, I love having Paul Perkins, but I'm just looking back, just as an example, the Super Bowl between the Patriots and the Seahawks. Obviously the Patriots won. But on second and one, you know, if it wasn't for that call by Pete Carroll, I think most people would agree that having Marshawn Lynch in the backfield was a scary threat, you know. And I feel like having that power running back, that presence, kind of changes the way the defense has to play a little bit. I'm kind of wondering if, you know, second or third round we're not able to get a guy like that, is there someone deeper in the draft that we might be able to go after to have a big back like that complementing Paul Perkins?
Yeah, you know what? I think
and I'll take it off the air for
me. I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you. And I know he asked you, but I want to jump in here because I do have a couple of names off the top of my head that I like. And they're not necessarily traditional like power back in terms of weight and stuff, but I think their running styles work for what you're talking about. Joe Williams out of Utah is a guy we've heard a lot about who's a downhill runner.
That's true.
He runs with power even though he's just 210 pounds. And the other guy who people like, and he's a great story, and we heard about him at the Combine a lot, Paul, is the kid out of Pittsburgh. And I can't
Connor.
Find, yeah, thank you. Connor, who beat cancer. James Connor, 6'1", 233. He's more of your typical size for a power back. That's a guy you can get probably on day three of this draft, and he could fit that type of role. And one of the guy I like too, and man, you probably wouldn't classify him as a power back because he lost a lot of weight since his playing days at Toledo. I like Kareem Hunt a lot. I think that could be a good day three pick of running back too.
Name.
He was actually good at the Senior Bowl.
I've heard his name. I would tell you this. I think Henry Yanosky probably knows a lot about Connor. Henry is a very proud alum from Pittsburgh.
Have you talked to him?
I have not talked to Henry. I've been actually looking for him. He's still interning with the Giants, but he's in a different department.
Yeah, he's up in
is it marketing now?
Yes, correct. Yes.
He's in a different department. I've been looking for him, and I haven't found him in a couple of weeks. Maybe he's avoiding me.
Well, you know, he actually told me he was actually trying to figure out ways to, you know, stay away from me.
I'm sure.
Apparently, he's succeeded.
He ducks into a closet every time I walk upstairs. But I'm actually anxious to talk to Henry about Connor because he is a proud alum of Pittsburgh. He knows all about those players, and he still has a very strong connection to the school. And so I'm very interested. And if I find out something about him from Henry, I'll pass that along to you because I do think that's the kind of guy we're talking about later on in the draft. I see you have Jamal Williams up on your screen out of BYU.
And, you know, I misspoke. I meant Jamal Williams out of BYU.
I was going to say, I thought you did.
Not Joe Williams out of Utah.
Right.
My mistake.
I thought you meant him because this is a guy who people do talk about as a
correct
power back.
That's who I meant to reference.
I thought so.
I had
cool
the wrong Williams.
That's cool.
And BYU and Utah, obviously, fairly close to each other.
Understood.
So, I met Jamal Williams. I'm sure Joe Williams is a fine player. I just frankly don't know that much.
Yes. Now, there are other things to deal with if you're going to take him. But the point is, there are power backs available. And as we know, the way the NFL is built nowadays, look, there are a lot of teams that aren't using a power running game. There's a handful that are, and a handful that are making it their bread and butter. But then there's a lot of teams, in fact, the majority of the teams, that are not focused on building a power running game. So power backs like that should be available as you get into the second day and into the third day of the draft.
Right. I got three more calls on the line. Check that, four. We'll get to all four. And then I have a couple of good tweets I want to get to before the end of the show, too. So, folks, we're going to not express you guys, but we'll probably take 2 to 3 minutes per call. And then we'll take the tweets before we say goodbye. We all want to get to watching the NCAA tournament. Sorry, folks. It's a priority. Let's go to Andy in Las Vegas. He's up next. Hi, Andy. How are you?
How are you, Paul? First-time caller. I've heard the gentleman before me about Pierre Paul. I think the Giants made a mistake, and I love Reese. I mean, he did a great job helping out defense last year. Look how good we were. I feel that the tag for $17 million wasn't really a good investment. We've had this kid Hankins who's coming to his own, especially with Harrison next to him. The defense, people were going on 3-1, couldn't get a half a yard on us. Why did we have to spend this $17 million? I know you said you want the Pierre Paul for one more year. I don't think that was a good investment. I think it's going to hurt us defensively without Hankins in that middle with Harrison.
I'd like
Look
to
what
ask
happened
you,
to the Jets.
I'd like to ask you two questions. Before
go ahead,
you go any further, I want to ask you two questions. First of all, you know that the tag, in many instances, is just a procedure that is used to extend negotiations to get
yes.
a deal at a more reasonable number. So how do you know for a fact it's going to wind up being 1 year at 17? You don't. Neither do we. And if they're able to work out a better deal with Jason over the course of the next few months, is that such a bad thing?
And I want to throw on top of that, Andy, really quick. If you didn't tag Jason Pierre-Paul, you're basically – let me put it this way. Would you rather have Jason Pierre-Paul for 1 year, $17 million, or 5 years, $70 million? Because that's kind of going to be what your two choices are.
They probably couldn't have afforded to bring him back, period.
And it'll probably be closer to 5 years, $75 million, to be quite honest with you.
In fact, right now you'd be desperate to draft a defensive end in the first round if he walked out the door.
Right. So I think the franchise tag, like you said, is not ideal. I don't think anybody wants that to be how this thing ends. But I do think it was a necessary evil given what the free agent market looked like.
Okay, that's question number one. Are you following us on this?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
The one question I have is the game when we beat Dallas,
yes.
we had a young kid that Pierre-Paul did not play that game.
Yeah.
Romeo Okwara. Very impressive.
Yes, Romeo Okwara out of Notre Dame. He was an undrafted free
yes.
agent last year.
You can't count on him.
Yeah.
You want to hope he's going to be good, but you can't count on him.
Yeah.
You can't.
Well, look how good he played against the best offensive line in football, Dallas's offensive
okay.
line. Is noted as number one. He played a tremendous game.
And I'm a big fan, but he didn't have much impact in the Packer playoff
and,
game, did he?
And Andy, I want to kind of go back in time a little bit. Be careful judging guys off of small sample sizes. For one, he played against Doug Free, for one, who was probably the weakest of all five of the Cowboy offensive linemen, for one. Number two, I remember 2 years ago, and I had Giant fans calling me February, March, and April, just going nuts about how well Kerry Wynn played. He can be a starter. He can be
right.
this. He can be that. And yeah, Kerry Wynn's a solid player. You hope he's
player.
Back next year. But he is what he is. And you can't make too much out of a few games. And look, did Okwara play well? Yes. If JPP gets hurt again or whatever and you got to plug him in, great. But he is not going to be Jason Pierre-Paul if you play him in there and start him for 16 games. It's just not going to be. The
yeah.
same level of play on that end.
Now, I have a second question for you. Okay, that's number one. Number two, if the Giants had not gone after JPP with the tag, let's just put that on the shelf and say, okay, the money is available to them today. What makes you so sure that they would have re-signed Jonathan Hankins? We don't know what he's asking for.
Yeah.
For argument's sake, hypothetically speaking, let's say Jonathan Hankins wants to be one of the top 8 or 10 players at the defensive tackle position in terms of price, and he's asking for $10 million a year. Let's just say, for argument's sake. Well, are you sure that even if the Giants had that money in their wallet, they'd be so anxious to give it to him? There's no guarantee that he would have signed. Because maybe he's outpricing himself. So even if you had JPP's money, you still might not have Hankins.
That's true.
That's true. Now, what happens, in your opinion, Paul, and all everybody else, without Hankins, does the defensive line with Harrison, because now you have to put another tackle next to Harrison.
Yes.
And these two guys, Hankins and Harrison, worked out great last year.
They did.
How much is that going to affect the defensive line? Even with Pierre Paul now at the defensive end.
That's a good question.
And Vernon playing, how much would you think our tackles will be as productive as it was last year, because I don't know
this.
Who they're going to plug in here.
I will say this. If you bring back Vernon and JPP and Snacks, that's 3/4 of your offensive line. If you get a little bit of a fall off at that other DT spot, it's not going to impact your overall product that much because you have three of your four starters coming back. And by the way, those three guys are really good.
Andy, thanks for the call, man. We got to run.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it.
And look, and frankly, and not to take anything away from Big Hank because he's great, but those three guys I think are better players.
Well,
in my opinion.
I mean, you know, if you're talking about the Beatles, you know, he's the least member of the Beatles. There's Harrison, Lennon, McCartney, Ringo. You know, he's the fourth guy in the bunch.
201-939-4513. Don down in Tennessee. What's up, Don? How are you?
Hey, John. Hey, Paul. How are
you
both?
Doing great, Don. How are you, pal?
Haven't spoken to you guys since I moved up to Tennessee from Florida. But I got a real quick question for both of you.
Sure.
Paul, the other day you were talking about the signing of Fluker, and you said that it was a good signing because he was going to be on a prove-me type of contract.
Correct.
I was surprised that the Giants also didn't look at J.C. Tretter out of Green Bay because I noticed that Cleveland wound up signing not only him, but
let's see what he got.
Kevin Zeitler out of Cincinnati. And both of them really, to me, are prove-me type of contracts. I thought that the Giants could have added another lineman in that type of situation for a very inexpensive price. I just want to grab your thoughts on that question.
Hey, good question. Tretter got about 3 for $16.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Remember, if you're going to sign someone to a prove-it kind of contract, both sides have to believe in it. It's not just the team that says you got to prove that you're going to come in and do this and then get the big deal the following year.
Right.
The player's got to be willing to say, I'm betting on myself.
And here's the thing. That's a three-year deal for one. It's not a one-year deal. So
That's a big difference.
And there's $4.5 million guaranteed in that Tretter contract. And frankly, he's guaranteed a starting spot in Cleveland. He would not have been guaranteed a starting spot here with the Giants.
That's correct.
So I don't know if he would have wanted to come here for that number given what the contract could have been.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call. Thanks a lot.
I agree.
I want to throw one thing on Fluker, too, and I know he said on Sirius, you guys mentioned this yesterday, that he's coming in here to play right guard.
He said that was the intention, but
right.
That he'll play anywhere.
I will place a friendly bet on the table right now. I believe he will play more snaps at tackle for the Giants next year than guard. That's my guess.
Yeah, you know.
That's my guess. I could be wrong, but that's my guess.
Could be. Hey, look, before I even get into that discussion, and I know you asked me that for one of the questions on the website, I need to know what he weighs. If he's closer to 330, I think the tackle is much more of a possibility because his body type is better suited for that because when he was playing at 350, and at the time he was in San Diego, he played some 350, his feet were slower,
and
he was better suited for guard.
And other thing I noticed, too, I watched a couple of his games, his balance is rough.
Well, again,
he winds up on the floor a lot. During plays.
When you start jacking up that scale,
those
things become an issue.
And he played at 350 last year. So
what's he coming in at? I don't know the answer to that. Again, medical. I need to know more medical before I can get into it.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hallelujah.
Losing his mind.
Mr. Illness.
He wasn't right in the hat.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're mad, man.
And here we go.
Hi, Charlie. He's in Portland, Maine. Hi, buddy.
Hey, John. Hey, Paul.
What's going on?
Hey, this might be one, Charles, that might not agree with you all.
Shocking. I don't believe that for a second.
Hey, I really think we're going to be going for need more than we are the best player, unless somebody from the top 10 drops down 23, which is, I can say.
Charlie, before you go anywhere, if O.J. Howard falls at 23, are you on board with taking him?
Well, that's need and best player available.
Oh, yeah. But that's not going to happen.
Okay, I know. It's not going to happen. See, we do agree.
All right. Well, the thing is now that we've kind of let Hanks go, I just read something about he's looking for $8 million, like four years, $20 million guaranteed, something like that. He'll probably end up taking seven, but we're not going to offer him that. So now we got a hole at D-tackle.
Charlie, hold on 1 second. I want to interrupt you. Apparently, Adam Schefter is reporting. I don't have any numbers on the deal that Dontari Poe will sign with the Atlanta Falcons. Nice pickup for them. Yep.
Yeah. So there's another guy gone. So, and remember, Eagle just lost Logan. So there's a market opening up. Hank is just going to have to come down a little bit. But so we've got a hole. So D-tackle. We're going to have to get a D-tackle in the first or second round. We're going to have to get an offensive lineman, whether we like it or not. I mean, the only thing I can hope is that if we're down in 23 and all there's left is really offensive linemen, that we will, you know, drop down that pick and, you know, get an extra pick and pick in the bottom of the first, and, you know, then we can pick up that offensive line.
You know, Charlie, here's the thing. Here's the thing. At 23, the way this draft is set up depth-wise, you might not have 10 true top 10 picks in this draft. You know, you don't have the superstars at the top of this draft that you normally have. You're some really good players, but to me, you don't have the stars. But once you get from, like, 8 to 50, you have a lot of interchangeable guys based on what you need if you're a team. So the Giants are, to me, in my opinion, you're not going to be sitting there at 23 with one guy head and shoulders above everybody else. This is not going to be an easy pick to make. You're going to be parsing between a lot of guys that I think are very close in their draft grades, and you're going to have some ability to pick the guy, like you said, where maybe you have a little bit more need, because I think so many guys would be graded in the same area. Because this draft, from the end of the first round to beginning of the third, I think you're going to have guys on one team's draft board at 25 and another team's draft board at 50. I think you're going to have that much parity in that late first to late second round area, where teams are going to have very diverging opinions on different guys, which will make making that pick a little bit difficult.
The good news there is that that actually helps Charlie's point.
No, it does.
Then when the phone rings at 23, you're listening.
So we agree with you, Charlie. How about that?
Amazing. Hey, you might not agree with this. I don't understand how can Eric Flowers get better if he never has any competition to compete with him to make him better. You know, Paul, you were saying the other day, we got the competition on the right side, but we need that competition at left tackle.
Charlie, I like your thought. I'm with you on that, too, and I agree with you. I'd like to see somebody compete with Eric Flowers to push him and to drive him. I would say, though, that sometimes the light goes on a little bit later. Sometimes as a rookie, guys are a little bit caught in the daylight and the headlights, and they're not what they should be. They're not as mature. There's not as much of a professional as they could be, and it takes them a couple of years. This is his third year. I have confidence that Eric Flowers, and I can't get into this with you now, but I have confidence that Eric Flowers will be a better player this year than he has been the first 2 years of his career. I know that. I'm asking for your trust on this. I believe he will be better. How much better, I can't tell you.
Charlie, we got to run, man.
Let's just hope that the light bulb isn't burnt out.
I'm with you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Charlie. By the way, what do you think Don Tarrypo got contract-wise? Matt Cohen got me the number. I think it's interesting, which is why I want to ask you.
The average of the deal is going to be probably $11 million a
year. 1 year, $8
million. Did he really? Wow.
I thought you'd find that interesting. That's Schefter had that, Matt? Is that who had it? Thank you.
I am very surprised.
And I don't want to get Giant fans excited, but if that's the market for Poe, I think you might be able to figure something out with Hankins, depending on what offers are coming in for him from around the league. Maybe the market for one technique defensive tackles isn't big. Maybe teams don't value that much.
One for eight. See, the bad news about that is
10 with incentives. Thank you, Matt. I didn't see that
part. And that's a little bit more difficult to deal with. But the other problem is, if you sign them on a 1 year deal, now you can't devalue the cap situation, because now you're stuck.
You can't spread it out.
That's the
point.
You're done.
So that's
done.
You're right. So you'd have to create a little bit more space to get them in on the 1 year.
That's
a good point.
Tougher.
That's a good point. Did not think about that.
That's tougher. You know,
but it also does not put you into a box then in the next 2 years when you have other guys hitting free agency. You can then make your decision then.
Problem is, if you're trying to win now and you're playing for this year.
No argument. That's fair. I can't argue that. There are obviously pluses and minuses to every situation.
Every situation, every way you look at this, there's going to be a plus and a minus.
Right.
There is no way you can just put it in a box and say this is the best answer. There just isn't one.
Jeff in Rhode Island, he's up next. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, fellas, how you doing today?
Hi. Doing well, Jeff. How are you, pal?
Good. Hey, before I get to my point about JPP, I just want to congratulate you on the outstanding job that you guys did on the and the combine shows.
Oh, thank you.
You were really outstanding.
We appreciate
really
that.
Good.
Thank
it
you very
fun.
Much. We had a lot of fun out there, and we got a lot of good information.
Yeah, always outstanding. Let's go Rhodey Rams, number two. But in regard to JPP, you know, I understand why the Giants had to bring him back. I understand why we had to franchise him. But the only thing that troubled me about it was tying up all that money, about, you know, half the cap at the expense of the rest of the team. You know, it didn't leave us too much to address the other needs that we had. And, you know, now we're down to like a $10 bill that we have left for free agency.
But, Jeff,
and
hold
on. That's the only thing that troubled me. I know he's nobody on our roster can replace the guy. There's nobody out there that we can bring in to replace him talent-wise. But it just troubled me that they left us pretty thin with the money.
Jeff, just think about this for a second, though. They did sign three veteran free agents, all on the offensive side of the ball, and we believe that all three of them are upgrades over what they had last year. So how bad was it? Not so bad, right?
Well,
yeah, but
we'll
ideally,
see,
and you said this too, you would rather not have him on the franchise tag if you didn't have to.
I'd rather
right,
not.
Of course not. I think that's all Jeff said.
But they weren't truly handcuffed to where they couldn't do anything.
Correct. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm not saying they were, but I'm just hoping I think we should draft a couple of D linemen in the upcoming draft anyway.
Certainly got to get at least one, for sure.
At least one. And, you know, and then build on that again, you know, the following year as well. Okay, guys, you have a good day, okay?
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Good stuff.
Always good to hear from you. I like Jeff. Jeff is always – he calls up with one point, he's succinct, and he knocks it out of the park. I like that. All right, couple tweets real quick.
Yes.
It's about halftime of that first-round game, so if Matt has to wait 2 minutes, he can. It's a good wait. I believe Notre Dame and Princeton are both – it's a close game, right, Matt? You got a score for me? 6:30. Huh? 6-point game.
Okay.
Notre Dame leads Princeton. And a couple smarty pants schools going at it in the first round of the NCAA scoring tournament. Vic, to the caller's point, it will be much easier to replace Hankins than to replace JPP. Plus, team has a better chance of succeeding without Hankins and JPP. I think that's true. Easier to find a defensive tackle than a pass rush defensive end. I got two tweets about this, and I don't think you're going to like it, so I'm going to give it to you, but it's fun. @FamousReject is one, and the second question, @D_NiceForLife. We think the Giants should kick the tires on Darrelle Revis as a prove-it contract at cornerback. Hello?
I'm not so sure that I agree with that. And by the way, the point about Hankins, we discussed this well before the combine about who would be easier to replace if the Giants lost either Hankins or JPP before the tag.
Right.
And we had all said that the Giants had more depth at defensive end than they did at defensive tackle. But in light of what has happened with them putting a tag on JPP, obviously you got to feel differently now because you know you have a realistic chance of getting Jason back. At the time, we didn't think that was realistic. And we also weren't aware of what was going on at the combine, and it does look like there are a lot of defensive tackles available in the draft.
Mark,
so let me just give you that little bit of information.
Absolutely. @Mark from Chicago, do the projected cap space numbers include the rollover from last year? Yes, it does. The Giants did not roll over as much money as we thought from last year once all the incentives and stuff were put into the equation.
Correct.
So they didn't have as much of a rollover, I think, as a lot of us thought about that. Chris Grathol makes the point that Hankins, the 3 technique, probably put a lot of position last year instead of playing that nose tackle spot, which is probably if he signs somewhere else, well, they'll put him at that 1 technique. Let's see. We got a couple other things here. Trina talking about that 4-round mock draft. So no running backs in round 1 through 4. Isn't that a need? Do you want to just rely on Perkins, Darqua, and Vereen? I think they will need to add a 4th back at some point in time.
I agree.
No argument there. @Lil_TNT32, how many quarterbacks do you think will be off the board when the Giants pick at 23?
QBs?
Yes, QBs.
Well, most people think there are going to be 3.
I think
outside
only 2.
Chance 4.
I think only 2 will be off the board.
2 will be off the board by that point?
I think
that's a fair number.
Trubisky and Watson. I do not believe Kaiser will go before the Giants pick at 23.
I think there's a chance he falls.
Just a projection. I could be wrong. I could easily – I think between 2 and 3, if it's 4, I'd be shocked.
I tell you what, though. If somebody's calling at 23 because they're desperate to draft that 3rd quarterback, you listen to that phone call.
Ben Gruen, do you think if both are available at 23, and I'm paraphrasing here, would you think Taco Charlton is a more likely pick than Hassan Reddick at 23, if both guys are available?
I would probably lean towards Taco Charlton.
And based on Giants draft history, they would tend to pick the defensive end ahead of the linebacker.
Again, Reddick has this projection about cover skills, and I think Taco's probably more of a sure thing.
Guys, great show. Tweets were good. The calls were fantastic. Dottino had energy. I was into it for once. We had a good time. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the tournament, everybody. Tomorrow, it'll probably be Lance and Feagles, but it could be me. We'll find out. I'll decide next couple hours whether or not I'm going to end up making my way into the office. But somebody will be here for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Tomorrow, we're going to try to grab somebody on from Clemson to talk about Clemson's Pro Day and some of the prospects from there. For Matt Cohen, our producer, for Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmoke. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow at noon on Giants.com. Everybody, have a wonderful day.